With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The White House is getting its team in place for the confirmation process for the president's next Supreme Court nominee. A White House spokeswoman says that the White House counsel Don McGahn will lead the overall process. The spokesman will take leave from his role in the press office to work full-time on communications and strategy with Capitol Hill allies. The president has said he will make his announcement to the public next Monday. One leading American cave rescue expert says a lot of challenges lie ahead for rescue divers in Thailand who located the 12 boys and their soccer coach who had been missing in the cave for more than a week. The National Cave Rescue Commission coordinator says the primary decision now is one of whether to try to evacuate them or to supply them with things they need in place. On Wall Street, it has been a mixed bag right now. The Dow is down 34 points, the NASDAQ up about 34 points. This is SRN News.
We'll have a mix of sun and clouds for most of the day today, and then a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high, 90 degrees. This evening, only a slight chance of rain, partly cloudy, an overnight low of 76. And for tomorrow, partly cloudy and warm. Our high tomorrow, 88 degrees.
SWAT Radio. I'm Brad Sykes here with my good buddy Doug McCary. Doug, I feel like it's been a month since I've seen you, man.
Well, we've been all over the place. You've been in Nashville. I've been in Gainesville. We've just been
those Villes.
I've been to Gainesville twice.
So Nashville, Gainesville, Jacksonville.
How
good
about
to be
that?
Here, man.
Villetown.
Yeah, Villetown. Hey, listen, I missed seeing you. I missed SWAT last week, and
you had an excuse though, man. You're up in Nashville, and
we're going to unpack it this week. So I'm excited to kind of hear it and dig into it.
Well, it's you know, this past week really spawned out of and you were gone, but it spawned out of a retreat I did, you know, on the heels of Billy Graham's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And really, God stirred in me. I was so moved and really repentant in my own life for my lack of urgency. And I came back and I just felt moved to take the guys through Colossians 4:2-6, talking about ways to share with people, kind of a philosophy. And so if you're listening today, I hope you'll stay with us throughout the whole time, because this whole week, it's an exciting week. We're going to be talking about a philosophy of being a witness for Jesus Christ. And you know, Brad, we're living inside of the U.S. really in the midst of an epidemic of silence by the church. Unprecedented in what I call people of faith being so quiet about their faith or being loud in ways that don't really reflect Jesus mm-hmm. in their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm not saying everybody, but as a whole, I mean, we've really been tepid at best in our passion to share the gospel with people.
You've shared the statistics, and I can't quote them, but about how few people share the gospel.
95% of the people that profess Jesus, and this was a survey, I think, by Sun Life years ago, have never told anybody about Jesus.
Mm.
They've never told the gospel message, communicated the gospel. 90%. 9 out of 10 had never told somebody that their own personal story of connection with God, how God changed their life. And it's a real issue. And what happens is we struggle with guilt. We struggle with feeling the weight of not doing it, of being successful. The enemy throws a barrage of attacks at us to keep us from doing it. But we want to look at those this week. And, you know, I just want to remind people listening, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And we we are basically exist to encourage and equip guys to be the men and the warriors that God's called us to be. But we have a lot of ladies listeners, you know, who are listening out there, and they can be spiritual warriors too.
They are spiritual warriors.
Yeah, I think of the first people that Jesus appeared to were women and told them, go tell.
Yeah.
And so this issue of being a witness is something that we all should be doing. And I just want to remind again, too, our core values is God's word. God's word for us is the starting point. And, you know, he says in Acts 1:8, Brad, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. For us, we don't live in Jerusalem. We don't live in that part of the world. Mm-hmm. So how do we take that principle and apply to us? Well, our Jerusalem is our family and our geographical area of our neighborhood and where we are.
By the way, we had Chap Bettis on last week. So I didn't know that this lesson came out, it was stirred up in you after you did your retreat, because I think Tim Lusk and I were in here doing it that Friday. You were down at that retreat.
Yeah.
I think you were, or that conference.
Yeah, I was.
So you came back, really wanted to share what you had shared there. And then Chap Bettis last week really talked specifically about how you share your faith right there in your own family.
Yeah, I mean, being a witness, and sometimes that's the hardest place to do it. And we want to bypass that because people know who we really are. And we have this idea that we have to be perfect, and we don't. The very authenticity of being unperfect and broken and realizing that we are broken people, that the gospel is not about people who have it all together. The gospel is about unrighteous, sinful people. According to Jesus himself, he came not for the righteous, but for sinful people.
I think we have a tendency to think that we're the ones who are to bring about repentance, when that's a work of God.
It is an absolute work of God. And you know, and that takes us to one of the points, another core value for us is prayer, but it's also the starting point for evangelism. And we're going to look at that in today's passage in Colossians 4:2-6, about our prayer life is our connecting point with God Almighty, the God of the universe, the creator of the universe. And when we pray, it's not just to give him a laundry list of things that we would like to see done. Prayer is actually us connecting with God, hearing from God, talking to God, communing with God, and it is the battleground, really. I mean, think about how often you pray if you're listening. Think about all the ways that Satan can distract you from prayer. And, you know, I just really want to encourage you. Sometimes if you read your Bible on your phone, or on your smart device, whatever it is, can I encourage you really to have a time where you read it in print, or unless you want to go to airplane mode or cut it off. I mean, you know, because the enemy is great at distracting us during our time of prayer or our time in the Word. And when you go to that device and you are looking at it, he will bring an email or something, and your mind will go off, and you'll get completely distracted. And I just want to ask you, if you had a moment to spend 10 minutes with the President of the United States or your favorite celebrity, whoever it was, and you got a phone call, you wouldn't take that call during that moment. So why do we do that with God? It's because we minimize the importance of that time with him.
Well, that's a great point. I was thinking about how many restaurants now you go to, they want you to turn your phone off or put it up or whatever. You know, basically, we have gotten so, we think we're so important, I think, that we have to be in the know constantly.
Yeah.
And you know, restaurants are saying, hey, we don't want your phone on. You go to a movie theater, what do they tell you before you start a movie?
Turn your phone off. Yeah, but with God, we keep it on. And if we get a phone call, oh, we got to answer. We get a text, got to check it. And you know, prayer is us communing with the God of the universe. Brad, I was last night I was watching Raiders of the Lost Ark from a long time ago. That's an old movie.
That is an old one.
But you know, there was a scene in that movie at the end where they supposedly found the the holy ark, the ark of God, mm-hmm. the ark of the covenant, and they released it, and it was this fire of, mm-hmm. they talked about this judgment and this holy presence that came out of that, and Harrison Ford is tied to a pole with that Marianne, the other character in the movie. And he says, don't look, close your eyes. Whatever you do, don't look. Why? Because no man can look upon God. No man can look upon the holiness of God. And unless we look at Jesus, Jesus was God's picture of himself to us. And that, what's interesting to me is you don't get a real visual depiction from Scripture of who Jesus is. You know, we have a lot of paintings. Everybody paints what they think he looked like. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, we don't know. All we know is he's love, right?
Right.
And tenderness. And so as we pray and commune with God, he wants us to be in this connection. Well, discipleship is the other core value. Intentional relationships built around mutual accountability to be like Jesus, to have this passion to be like Jesus. And then evangelism, Brad. Prayerful, intentional, reaching out to the lost. Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses. And I was really convicted about that when I was up at that conference, just thinking about it. And then the last one is community. And when I came back, what happened to me was something that I wanted to share with the guys because of the community. I mean, you think back to during Jesus' time, they lived in community. That's why he said, follow me, don't mm-hmm. follow my teaching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a moment last week, the whole nation focused in on Billy Graham. In fact, the world, a lot of people, every news organization covered it and talked about it. And I wanted to play a clip from Billy's, they showed this video clip, and it's his pastor, a guy who was a South African guy who had kind of functioned as Billy's pastor during the last years of his life. And I thought it would be helpful for our listeners to hear. And I just want them to hear Billy's reflections. You know, some of the most important things said is at a guy's last breaths.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so I want you to hear from Billy Graham. And when we come back, we're going to look at the issue of prayer, care, and share from Colossians 4:2, and how you as believers, if you can adopt those things in your life, God will use you to reach out and be a witness to those around. Reflections on the Christian life from Billy Graham.
For many years, I've had the privilege of being Mr. Graham's close friend and personal pastor. And so one can imagine the wonderful conversations that we've had together over these years.
That's wonderful.
It's been such a joy to be blessed by him and to learn from him and to hear the things that God has placed in his heart.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I've been praying that we might have a spiritual awakening, but I think that becomes possible only as individuals surrender their lives afresh and anew to Christ and live the Christian life wherever you are. First, we do everything we can to follow in the steps of Jesus. We're to live a life in which we love one another, we help one another, we live according to what Jesus lived. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us live that new lifestyle, which is one of love, gentleness, and patience, and all of these things that are the fruit of the Spirit.
We must remember that we communicate the gospel by our lives as well as our lips. We live before a watching world, a world that is waiting to see if what we say is lived out in our lives. We must be living in the power of the Spirit. We must be men and women who are pure vessels for God's message.
Secondly, you read his word every day, the Bible. I know it's very difficult, but you need to start somewhere. And I'd suggest you start with the Gospel of Luke and the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, start with the very first verse, in the beginning, God, and study those passages.
Make the Bible your source and your authority. Quote it frequently. Let its message be your message. Study it, meditate upon it, memorize it, trust its promises. The Word of God itself has power.
And the third thing, go to your knees and pray until you and God have become intimate friends. I cannot describe to you the joy and the peace that He gives to you as a result of that daily routine that you have in prayer.
Is there a lack of power in your life? Perhaps you have neglected the preparation of your life. We've neglected prayer. We've neglected God's Word and the feeding of our own souls. Whatever it is, confess it, forsake it, repent of it, and then walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and gain victory over it. And may God today lift our vision. And may the power of the gospel break upon our world with fresh force as we are obedient to Christ's call to repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Isn't that powerful?
Very powerful.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Folks, you don't have to win the argument. Just tell that Jesus changed your life. You don't have to win. Just be a witness. That's what He's called us to. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about that this week. So,
looking forward to it. Hey, if you want to join us today, you can tune in online, www.swatradio.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can send those to us at ask. That's ASK at SWATradio.com. And we'll be back right after this break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes with Doug McCary. Cody at the wheel. I don't know. Should we let our listeners know that Cody's not going to be here in about a week?
I'm in mourning.
Cody, love you, brother.
Yeah, he's going back to Virginia. Well, that was, you know, that video was really powerful for a couple of reasons, actually. One, you know, it's the end of his life. And most people look at Billy Graham and they go, wow, the fruit and everything. I wish I could have had that kind of life to go into heaven with. And yet at the end of his life, he said, you know, if I had it all to do over again, I would spend more time with the Lord, more time in His Word, less time speaking out, taking those speaking opportunities, which was really, really convicting to hear him say that. But Billy loved to witness.
Yeah.
He would dress up in disguise and go down to a local breakfast place and look for people that looked like they were having a hard time or they might just be open, and he would go up and try to share the gospel with them. He didn't just want to do it on a platform. He burned to share what God had done in his own life, you know, and we just got to be open to the opportunities. That I think for a lot of people, they believe they have to be like a Billy Graham or like a pastor or like a ministry professional, to use other people's words. But you know what? We are witnesses, and nobody has to win the argument. Jesus is the one that uses us all. We just have to be people that are telling, like the woman at the well who went and told the people in Samaria
immediately,
and the whole city came and they said, you know, hey, we believed at first because your word, but now we've heard it for ourselves. And we just have to be a witness. When I was in the FBI, I used to put witnesses on the stand, and they would tell what they saw, what they heard, and what they experienced. And I had one guy say this past week, in fact, I think it was Steve Russo, who was our guest last week, said that one reason a lot of people may not share is they may not have actually experienced Jesus for themselves. They've played a Christian game. Mm-hmm. If you've been a believer for 20 to 40 years and there's been no fruit in your life, no desire to talk about Jesus to anybody, maybe you've placed your faith in a transaction rather than in the Jesus who's supposed to be part of that transaction.
Well, that's what concerns me the most, Doug, is that, you know, the statistics you mentioned earlier, 95% of those who profess the name of Jesus have never once in their entire life shared, have never once in their entire life been a witness for Christ. And I think you just mentioned it about the fact that as an FBI agent, you call people to be witnesses. They're simply there to speak about what they've experienced.
Yeah.
And if you've never experienced transformation in your life, then the question is whether or not the Spirit is dwelling in you.
Yeah.
Because it's not about me mustering up enough courage to be bold
But we have this preoccupation, Brad, with success. Mm-hmm. To be able to successfully defend or argue or, you know, whatever as it relates to the gospel. And there's a fear of rejection, there's a fear of failure that the enemy throws at us, and we forget what 1 John says, that perfect love casts out all fear. And when you listen, do you think, Brad, let's just say for instance, you were in a car wreck and I was the first one on the scene, and you were in that car and your car was on fire, and I pulled you out and saved your life. Would you have any problem telling anybody that story?
Not a bit.
Why?
Yeah. Because, you know.
You would be grateful, and you would want to tell people about the person that saved your life and the fact that you almost bought it, but instead somebody redeemed you and saved you. Why? See, I think for a lot of people, and I've struggled with this too, we don't think of it as telling people about what's happened in our life. We think about trying to convince them that Jesus is real, that he died on a cross.
Or we're so paranoid about the questions they might ask us and us not being equipped to answer those.
Yeah. And we just got to be a witness. I mean, John Mazel, who's, you know, John was East West Ministries. I was talking to John and he was sharing with me. He was in the grocery store the other day. And this person in front had a lot of stuff, a lot. And they made a comment to the cashier. Well, I think we got everything. And John Mazel was behind him line. He goes, well, do you have Jesus?
Oh, that.
and because he's the most important thing. And the cashier goes, that's right. And, I mean, now just that little comment would make somebody think. I mean, and it was just being in the moment, you know, there are opportunities around us every day to be a witness. The question is, do we see the opportunities and do we take the opportunities?
Well, I think, Doug, one of the things I picked up on, I've just kind of jotting down some points that Dr. Billy Graham mentioned in that video. But one, well, two that stood out, we have neglected prayer and we have neglected his word. And, you know, I think about generations, a society that is so self-centered. We're so self-focused and realizing that if we're going to share good news with somebody, we've got to be looking for those people who and we don't know who they are, quite frankly. You know, whether it's John Maisel talking about somebody who's in front of him at the grocery store, you know, God is sovereign. We talk about it all the time on radio and in the Bible studies. And God is sovereign. God has orchestrated the people he's going to bring right to you today.
Well, listen, if you are looking across the street at your neighbor's house and there is somebody with their face against, say, a kid in there with his face against that window, and that house is on fire, and you know that kid's in need, are you going to say, well, I'd like to rescue him, but I'm not trained in how to break into a door or how to break into a window? No, you're going to be moved to action by the urgency of what you see happening. And the problem for a lot of us is we don't see the urgency of people dying all around us without Jesus on a daily basis. We don't see the urgency of our culture really in turmoil. We're more economically, politically, racially divided, Brad, than I ever remember in my lifetime. And the gospel is the hope of reconciliation. Jesus says, my children are going to be peacemakers. You know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they're children of God. That is, we're reconcilers. We're going to look at that this week in 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul says, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. Well, that reconciliation starts with God first.
That's what Jesus came.
Yeah.
Was to reconcile us with the Father.
He came. And so I was talking with you about Peter Hootie, and I mentioned this last week in SWAT. Peter Hootie was a member of the Nenets, N-E-N-E-T-S people group over in Siberia, in the Siberian Peninsula of Yamal. Yamal means ends of the earth. I met him in the year 2000. When I met him, he was the only believer in his whole people group. The only person that spoke his language, the only person for that culture. And he was a believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus radically got a hold of his life and changed him. And he could not wait to tell his people about the hope in Jesus. And so he came to me and said, Doug, would you help me reach my people? Me and a couple other guys up there. And so now, Brad, there was a CBN report. They actually did a report on Peter. Over 500 believers, many, many churches spread out across the tundra because of the witness of Peter Hootie and how God used him. Now, I want our listeners to think about this. Let's say that you were the only believer in your city. Everybody there is not a believer. Nobody there who speaks the languages in your culture loves Jesus. And you did nothing to change your witnessing habits. How many believers would there be in 12 years in that city? I mean, how many people would you be a witness to if you did nothing to change? Don't let that happen. You can. It's never too late, brothers and sisters. You can start today. Men and women who are listening to this today, you can say, God, I'm sorry. I turn from being a silent witness for Jesus, and I'm going to be vocal about my witness of what he's done in my life.
Well, there's no such thing as a silent witness.
Yeah. Well, that old saying that says, you know, preach the gospel, use words when necessary. You have to use words. People don't get the gospel through nonverbals. The life authenticates, like Billy Graham said, it authenticates it. And when we come back, we're going to have you read Colossians 4:2-6, and we're going to get in this prayer thing today.
Excellent. Hey, SWAT Radio. You can tune in if you're getting out of your car, www.swatradio.com. You can check us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at SWAT Radio Talk. You have questions or comments, send those to ask@swatradio.com.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The White House is wasting no time in putting a team together to find a replacement for retiring Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. More on the process from correspondent Wally Hines.
With the president promising to unveil his choice next Monday, the White House has announced that Chief Counsel Don McGahn will head up the search committee, reprising the role he played in the successful confirmation of Neil Gorsuch. McGahn will lead a team of attorneys who will vet candidates and prepare briefing materials for the president. Sources indicate the president's already narrowed his search to a shortlist of a half dozen or so candidates.
That is Wally Hines reporting. The president also stressing that that shortlist includes two women. Rescuers found all 12 boys and their soccer coach alive deep inside a partially flooded cave in northern Thailand today. More than a week after they disappeared and touched off a desperate search, it drew international attention and assistance and also captivated the nation. The regional governor said that the 13 are now in the process of being rescued, but they're not out of danger yet. They still have to get them out through all that high water that trapped them underground in the first place. With a heat advisory in effect, New Yorkers trying to beat the heat just about any way they can.
It's sizzling here at the beach in Coney Island, where loads of people like Jose and Stacy Cardenas are trying to stay cool.
We're going
to
be here all day, yeah.
In and out. Once we get hot, we go back in the water, and then we go out when we get cold.
That's right.
And then there's always that one person, like Monique Lewis.
It's not hot enough. It needs to be hotter, but it's great. I'm having a great time.
How can it not be hot enough?
The hotter it is, the better I like it.
While temperatures here are in the 90s, it actually feels like it's in the triple digits. Julie Walker, New York.
Go ahead and fill up that coffee cup. New research shows drinking coffee may boost chances for a longer life, even for those who drink at least 8 cups of coffee every day. This is SRN News.
We're still accident-free, but there is a disabled vehicle on I-95, the southbound ramp to US 90, that's Beach Boulevard. Also, some roadway debris on the East Beltway, 295 northbound at the exit at Hexer Drive. That center lane is blocked. And some roadway debris also on the West Beltway, 295 northbound at Duval Road, that one blocking the right lane. A chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight, low 73. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high 90.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth, and we're talking about sharing our faith.
Yeah, I actually taught this, Brad, as part of a seminar I did at churches back a long time ago called Lifestyle Evangelism for the Sharing Impaired.
That's good.
Because basically, when we have, like I said, this epidemic of silence of believers not witnessing to who Jesus is, I think a lot of it is because our philosophy of the way we do it, we think methods, we think going through a presentation rather than a philosophy. What if every believer in the U.S. prayed for lost people, cared for lost people, and then as God gave them opportunity, witnessed and shared with lost people? I mean, just think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we just prayed to start off, prayer is the foundation, and we're going to see that in this passage. And, you know, Paul wrote this letter of Colossians from prison. He's in prison. By the way, that reminds me, Paul the Apostle of Christ movie coming up next week. It's going to be out. It's a great movie about Paul and Luke and their relationship, two battle buddies in the fight together as they write the book of Acts. And as Luke writes it from Paul's perspective, is what they kind of share in the movie. And but really, really well done. We're doing a SWAT outreach on Thursday.
And the day before it comes out.
The day before it comes out. We've got it a sneak peek in two theaters.
So the movie comes out March 24th, I believe.
Or is it 23rd? Did they change? I thought it was the 23rd, unless they've changed it again.
Okay.
It originally was coming out the following week, but because of Easter, they moved it up a week. It is a great opportunity. But we this Thursday, we have Andrew Hyatt, who's going to be our guest on the first part of SWAT Radio, and he's the writer-director of the movie. And he's going to be calling in, and I'm really excited that we'll be able to hear from him on kind of the vision for what they were wanting to accomplish, and that they really did a great job. But Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians from prison, and what strikes me is he's dealing with this issue of praying and evangelism, reaching out to outsiders, and knowing how to respond to each person, how to share. So he talks about prayer, care, and share in this. And we're going to look at each one of these. Today, we're going to focus on prayer, tomorrow, care, and then Wednesday, sharing. And so if you would read Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and when we come back, we're going to kind of unpack the prayer part that Paul deals with in this passage, okay?
Yeah, you bet. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
So Paul starts off saying, continue steadfastly in prayer. Be devoted to it. It's this idea of not quitting, like a continuing on, persevering. And that was the way the early church prayed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's so hard for us to mobilize people to pray today. I mean, to really pray. When I go to other countries and I see the prayer life of these believers in other countries, I just think for a lot of people, if they pray 5 minutes, they think they've done a good job.
Hmm.
I mean, if they get together 15 minutes, 30 minutes, when you go to some of these other countries, Brad, they'll pray for 2 hours, 3 hours.
That scares most people.
It is scary to see somebody praying that long, but can you imagine? I remember, I think it was Martin Luther who was asked about all the stuff he had to get done. It was either him or Spurgeon. I can't remember. And he talked about he had to do the prayer for longer to make his day work more efficiently because, you know, they were talking about cutting some of the time of prayer down so he could get everything done. And he said, no, I need to pray longer so I can be more efficient in my day.
I think it was Spurgeon who seminary students showed up at the church where Spurgeon preached, and they had never met Spurgeon. And so Spurgeon said, let me give you a tour. And he gives them a tour of the church, and he takes them down in the basement just before he's going to go up to preach. And there's 200 men down there praying.
In the prayer chamber.
Yeah, and he says, this is...
It's the power of the pulpit.
This is the power of the pulpit.
Yeah, that's... I remember that story, man. And I mean, but for most of us, when we mobilize to pray, I mean, we're happy to give half an hour. I mean, it's just really hard to get people to pray.
I think when there's a lack of prayer, there's a lack of understanding our need.
Mm-hmm.
We are so needy.
Well, the thing about what Paul does here is he's asking people to pray for him. Now, stop and think about that for a minute. If Paul, a Christian like Paul, felt the need for prayer support, how much more do you and I need people to pray for us? I mean, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. He had already been beaten. He had already been stoned. He had gone to all these places telling people about the gospel. And yet he's saying, pray for me, and pray that a door would be open for us to declare the mystery on account of which I'm in prison, and that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. And that word, making it clear, is the word which it means to manifest or demonstrate. In other words, like Billy Graham said, my life needs to match up with what my words are saying.
And notice, and Paul didn't ask them to pray that I get necessarily released from prison, you know, or for healing or any
exactly.
of these other things.
And I mean, and how many, you know, if you talk to people in other countries who are persecuted, they will tell you, don't pray for my release, pray for my faithfulness. Pray that I would be a faithful witness. So a couple of things that Paul's saying here, he gives descriptives. He says, being watchful. That word is like a military term. It means being alert. How hard is it to be alert when you're praying sometimes? I mean, do you find your mind wandering when you're praying?
Oh, absolutely.
When is the last time you got alone with God? I mean, really quiet. I mean, we get in our cars, we turn on the radio, we turn on an iPod, we turn on our phone, we make phone calls. When is the last time that you've really had quiet time to hear and to talk with God? I mean, we live in Chuck Swindoll wrote a book years ago, little bitty booklet called Intimacy with the Almighty. And it talked about silence and solitude, simplicity, and surrender. This idea of getting alone with God and being silent. I think we're afraid of silence.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I was meeting with a guy that I've been spending a lot of time with over the last 12 to 15 years. And it was one of the things we talked about this past week was, you know, are we getting time alone with God? Quiet. No phones, no radio, no children at times.
I mean, just to be quiet.
You know, listen, I love my family, but goodness, for me to lead my family, I need to be with God.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time that you were quiet before the Lord? That if you haven't had, can I just encourage you to say, okay, I'm gonna get up a little bit early in the morning, because, you know, I'll just tell you, I'm an early morning person because it's quiet in the morning. If when you try to have time with God throughout the day, there just seems to always be distractions. And I know I'm going to get hate mail from people that are they like doing it later in the day, but Jesus went away early in the morning a lot of times because it is quiet. There's no activity, and you can be just watchful and engaging with God. I used this example, Brad, last week, that what if you were with your child, and every time your child was trying to talk to you, you kept looking away? And that's what it means to be engaged. Are we engaged with God in prayer? And he's talking specifically here about praying for our unchurched, our unbelieving friends, or our people who are lost. These jailers, these people who are in prison, that they're holding him there. He's asking for God to help him be a witness to them. And he says, pray with thanksgiving. And I find that instructive since he's in prison. If Paul can ask for people to pray and be thankful, he's not doing that without having a thankful heart. He's saying to people, hey, let these two things guide you. I mean, and I think so often we just rush through our prayers and we get to the list of what we need God to do or what we want God to do. And passion for God and people flows out of a prayer of communion. I think of John 7:37. Jesus stands up on the last and great day of the feast. He says, anyone who's thirsty, come to me. Anyone, any race, any gender, even if you're not sure about your gender, it doesn't matter. He says, anyone who's thirsty, come to me. And we're so focused on the wrong thing sometimes instead of calling people to come to him. And he says, out of you will flow living water. And then he says, the living water is the Holy Spirit. And in Exodus 32:32, and Paul in Romans 9:1, Moses in Exodus 32:32, Paul in Romans 9:1-3 say basically the same thing. Lord, I wish that I could go to hell so that these people could be forgiven. Now think about that. You got to have time with God to have that kind of passion.
Yeah.
And so when we come back, we're going to look at that a little bit further.
So I like this idea. Be steadfast, be watchful, be thankful in prayer. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff. Hey, join us this afternoon, SWAT Radio, www.swatradio.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can send those to us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. You can call us 904-401-1413 or 1-844-777-7928.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, Doug McCary, and we are looking at this idea of sharing the gospel with people. We don't do this well.
No, it's well, here's the thing. You know, Paul, if Paul's asking people to pray and he's given us some ways to do it, he's given us some instruction, be engaged, be thankful and
be alert.
Yeah. And pray that a door would be open to declare the mystery of Christ. What he's saying is this is a supernatural act. You know, Brad, sometimes I think we forget that every time somebody has the veil dropped from their eyes, it is an act of God. There is no way somebody figures this out on their own.
Mm-mm.
It's like the parting of the Red Sea. It's greater because you're talking about the supernatural rebirth of a spirit in somebody, of the soul of somebody being reborn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we forget about that. And Paul's saying, pray for me that I might make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. And if Paul's asking for this, we need to be praying. And so if you're listening, I just want to challenge you. If you can write, if you're not driving, if you're at home listening, or if you listen to this on a podcast, write down the name of one person you know is not in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ right now. Write one name down. If you can't write down one name, you need to get out of the holy huddle. You need to get out of the group of people you're with to hang around some people that you know may not know Christ. You know, this is the only thing we can't do in heaven. We're going to have perfect knowledge in heaven. We're going to have perfect worship in heaven. You know, we're going to be in perfect community in heaven. But we won't be able to evangelize in heaven and share the good news of Christ with somebody who doesn't know. And so write that name down, and I just really want to challenge you to start praying what I call, you know, I call them bullet prayers just because they're just short bullet prayers, but just praying, Lord, motivate me to share the gospel with this person. I mean, really burden my heart. The same way you burden Moses and Paul, burden my heart. Give me the opportunity. Give me the courage. You know,
well, Doug, I think this is probably the most important thing we can talk about today. I mean, obviously prayer, but so often we want a technique. Mm-hmm. We want to be, you know, we want to go to a conference where we learn how to share the gospel, thinking that, you know, it's some, you know, powerful word we're going to speak, when in reality, it's God who's going to do the redeeming. We're simply the mouthpiece. And that's what I think Paul is saying here, mm-hmm. you know, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak.
Yeah.
You know, Paul recognizes he's just an instrument that God's going to use to proclaim the truth, the word of God.
Well, think about who he used. See, so often we look at preachers like Billy Graham and other people, and we go, I'm not like them. I can't be like them. Well, listen, God wants you to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He made you and gave you your own experiences so that everything that you've been doing in your life has been preparing you to be his witness if you're his child. Think about Andrew. Think about Peter. Think about the disciples, who they were. They were prideful men. They struggled with the same struggles that you and I struggle with. But Andrew in John 1, it says he found first his own brother, Simon. And you know what he told him? He didn't go through the four spiritual laws with him. He didn't go through the Roman road with him. He didn't have all the apologetic answers. He went and he told Simon, Simon, we found the Messiah.
Hmm.
He brought him to Jesus. Now, guys, we can do that. We can be a witness. We all just be a witness to Jesus. You know, Jesus has changed my life. That's all you got to do. Jesus has changed my life. I used to be one way, and now I'm another way. I used to live only for me, but now I live with a different leader in my life. I live for other people.
You're not perfect.
No, not by any stretch, but we've got to pray. We need to go to God. And one friend of mine says it this way. We need to talk to God about our friends before we talk to our friends about God. That's the prayer. So we go to God and we ask him to help, give me the strength, give me the courage, give me the words, help me to share the gospel with them, to be a witness. And here's some...
Do what Paul says, open to us a door for the word.
Yeah.
That's what I pray for, is that God would open a door for me to share the word with somebody.
But we cannot be like sometimes people I know who are in school, like I remember people used to say, you know, I prayed for God to help me pass the test, and then they never studied.
Hmm.
You know, Jesus could have told Lazarus, he could have told Lazarus, you know, Lazarus, come forth. And Jesus could have made the stone roll away, but instead he allowed the disciples to be part of the process. And in the same way, guys, he uses you and I to be part of his process, to call people out of their dead state to following him. He chooses to use us. And so when we pray, and we pray for people specifically, you know, he will use us. But we've got to pray and ask him for some specifics. Ask him to give us an authentic love for him, a boldness, a courage to basically go through the spiritual. Listen, when you start telling people about Jesus, you think it's going to irritate Satan?
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely will. And he's going to bring some warfare against you. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. But pray for patience, pray for humility, pray for a compassionate heart, perseverance. These are things that you can throw up to God. Listen, Brad, we could spend the next hour going through just things that we could ask God to do. Make us repentant, make us filled with his spirit, zealous, alert to opportunities, our eyes open, to treat them like a person and not a project. These are all mm-hmm. things that we can be praying and asking God. And I guarantee you, you'll start praying that stuff for people. You'll look over and 30 minutes will shoot by. And you'll go, wow, where did the time go? Well,
you talked about earlier about, and I'm looking through my notes, about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we shy away from building into people, spending time with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, yes, there is an urgency towards some people. You know, you use the story of the child in the window. mm-hmm. and you notice the house is on fire. Maybe that child doesn't even know the house is on fire. And that's generally most of the issues we deal with, is people don't realize they're headed for hell.
Well, so we don't
see them. We have no relationship with them. And we pawn it off on other people. Well, that's the pastor's job, is to share the gospel. Yet the pastor has no relationship. Now, you've even said that yourself. God has allowed me in the professional world to deal with people you may never get to meet.
That's exactly right. And that's why I'm saying that everything in our background, our experiences, our personalities, our unique set of life circumstances has equipped us to be the witnesses that God wants us to be. And we've got to get over this mindset that we have to do a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
I told the guys this week, you know, if you are a homeless person and you're hungry and you find out there's food down on Fifth Street and you go and you get that food and you meet another hungry person, you don't have to be trained how to tell them where the food is or that you're eating food,
mm-hmm.
that you feel satisfied because something's changed in your life in the last half hour to make you feel more satisfied than you did before that. And so we just need to be witnesses of what Christ does. And that's why I'm saying, just tell people that Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is real. Jesus changed my life. He changed my life. And you know, I want you to know about him because he's changed me. You know, you don't have to be responsible for how they respond. That's not your responsibility. You don't even have to be able to answer all their questions. Now, is it bad to get trained? No, it's not bad to go through training, but I will caution you. Sometimes when you go through training, you become more focused on presenting than you do caring
mm-hmm.
and praying, and you let your efforts be the driving force instead of prayer. Prayer has to be the beginning. And again, beg God to draw them to his heart. You know, in John 6, it says, no one can come to the Father unless the Father draws them. And so we need to pray and ask God, God, bring the veil down before their eyes. Ask that they would seek to know him and their need for him. You know, I remember in John 4, where the woman says, sir, where can I get this water? Give me some of this so I won't be thirsty. And so we need to be praying. All those stories are in the Bible, not to talk about these people, but to show us. Do you know, Brad, in the first 11 chapters of John, Jesus interacted 10 different ways with 10 different people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have made the gospel so mass-produced that we don't even pray specifically for people. We pray generally. Pray that these people would believe the word that we talk about Jesus, that Satan would be prevented from blinding them. So these are just some practical ways to pray. And I really encourage you, go back, write down this name of one friend or family member that you will start today. And I challenge you to pray for the next 6 weeks every day. Just one prayer a day. Pray for them that God would open their eyes and that he would give you an opportunity to share with them, that he would bring other people in their life. And you know what? Tomorrow we're going to look at caring and how just the process of us praying and asking God to open a door, we might even be the answer to that prayer of sharing with them.
Well, I like the fact that you brought up the don't look at that family member or that neighbor as a project.
No.
You know, look at them as a person who needs to hear the gospel. And that doesn't mean you're just going to walk across the street, knock on the door, and just start telling them. It really just engage in their life.
Engage, like you said earlier, by caring. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. But it starts with their story.
Mm-hmm.
The process starts. What is their story? Where are they coming from? Jesus could look at people, and he knew what their story was.
How do you know their story?
Yeah, we don't have that ability. And so we pray and ask God for discernment. And then we're going to look at tomorrow. How do you take their story and then care for them?
Amen. Hey, join us tomorrow. We'd love to have you. www.swatradio.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St.